But that is just like me. I invite ladies because I like to be with them. And then, as soon as I feel the water beneath me, I think of nothing but the fish. Madame Roland was now quite awake, and gazing with a softened look at the wide horizon of cliff and sea. "You have had good sport all the same," she murmured. But her husband shook his head in denial, though at the same time he glanced complacently at the basket, where the fish, caught by the three men, were still breathing spasmodically, with a low rustle of clammy scales and struggling fins, and dull, ineffectual efforts, gasping in the fatal air. Old Roland took the basket between his knees and tilted it up, making the silver heap of creatures slide to the edge, that he might see those lying at the bottom, and their death throes became more convulsive, while the strong smell of their bodies, a wholesome reek of brine, came up from the full depths of the creel. The old fisherman sniffed it eagerly, as we smell at roses, and exclaimed, "Christi! But they are fresh enough." And he went on, "How many did you pull out, doctor?" His eldest son, Pierre, a man of 30, with black whiskers trimmed square like a lawyer's, his mustache and beard shaved away, replied, "Oh, not many. Three or four." The father turned to the younger. "And you, Jean?" said he. Jean, a tall fellow, much younger than his brother, fair, with a full beard, smiled and murmured, "Much the same as Pierre. Four or five." Every time they told the same fib, which delighted Father Roland. He had hitched his line round a rowlock, and folding his arms, he announced, "I will never again try to fish afternoon. After 10 in the morning, it is all over. The lazy brutes will not bite. They are taking their siesta in the sun." And he looked round at the sea on all sides, with the satisfied air of a proprietor. He was a retired jeweler, who had been led, by an inordinate love of seafaring and fishing, to fly from the shop as soon as he had made enough money to live in modest comfort on the interest of his savings. He retired to Le Havre, bought a boat, and became an amateur skipper. His two sons, Pierre and Jean, had remained at Paris to continue their studies, and came for the holidays from time to time to share their father's amusements. On leaving school, Pierre, the elder, 5 years older than Jean, had felt a vocation to various professions, and had tried half a dozen in succession, but, soon disgusted with each in turn, he started afresh with new hopes. Medicine had been his last fancy, and he had set to work with so much ardor that he had just qualified after an unusually short course of study, by a special remission of time from the minister. He was enthusiastic, intelligent, fickle, but obstinate, full of utopias and philosophical notions. Jean, who was as fair as his brother was dark, as deliberate as his brother was vehement, as gentle as his brother was unforgiving, had quietly gone through his studies for the law, and had just taken his diploma as a licentiate at the time when Pierre had taken his in medicine. So they were now having a little rest at home, and both looked forward to settling at Havre, if they could find a satisfactory opening. But a vague jealousy, one of those dormant jealousies which grow up between brothers or sisters and slowly ripen till they burst, on the occasion of a marriage perhaps, or of some good fortune happening to one of them, kept them on the alert in a sort of brotherly and non-aggressive animosity. They were fond of each other, it is true, but they watched each other. Pierre, 5 years old when Jean was born, had looked with the eyes of a little petted animal at that other little animal which had suddenly come to lie in his father's and mother's arms, and to be loved and fondled by them. Jean, from his birth, had always been a pattern of sweetness, gentleness, and good temper, and Pierre had by degrees begun to chafe at everlastingly hearing the praises of this great lad, whose sweetness in his eyes was indolence, whose gentleness was stupidity, and whose kindliness was blindness. His parents, whose dream for their sons was some respectable and undistinguished calling, blamed him for so often changing his mind, for his fits of enthusiasm, his abortive beginnings.